little visual aid this morning. What did the disciples do to make the Holy Spirit come upon them? Nothing. They waited and they received. What I'd like to do is try in my own weak and feeble way to give you an overview of a lot of what I've been talking about, Father Greg's been talking about in the last number of months. And I'd like to start with three transition points. If we had a transition point out here, and this is when you came from God, you were conceived. The one in 72 million to one odds that you would be born the way that you're born. All the little biological nuances of fertilization and then carrying the term and all that kind of stuff. One in 72 million. So, hey, you won the lottery, dudes. Doing pretty good. That's one transition point. There's another transition point here, and that's probably the main point I want to talk about. And then you get down here, and the final transition point is when you pass over into God. We call it death, but it is really a transition, a passing into God. That who you are, who you were born back there, and God knows you to be, now passes back into God. Okay. Look at Jesus' life as a pattern. Jesus had an active part of his life. You know, there was this part before that we don't know a whole lot about. And then he has this active period. And then he goes through the passion, the suffering, death, and resurrection. And then this contemplative, mystical part where he's sort of here and he's there and then he's gone. And then there's this, you know, and then he ascends into heaven and sends his Spirit. Think about that pattern. I offer that as a pattern for the church and for our own life. In the church, there are two types of ministry. There's an active ministry piece. That's what most of us are, in active ministry, if you will. This is not just priests and religious and whatever, but all of us are very active in our lives. We're working, we're raising children, we're with grandchildren, we're going to school, we're doing all kinds of stuff. We have a very active piece. In the midst of that, not only for us, but there's also religious orders that are very active. There's sisters and brothers that are educators. The Jesuits are educators. The Sisters of Mercy and Charity work in hospitals. So there's active ministry within the religious and the laity within this reality. But then you shift over this transition point, and then there's a contemplative reality of the church. There's the Camaldolese, the Carthusians, the Trappists, the Benedictines, the Poor Clares of the Franciscans. These are folks that are contemplative. They don't leave the monastery. They don't have any outside work. The only thing they do is pray. Let me summarize it in the way that, at least for me, it makes sense. I don't know if any of you had a dad or a mom that would come in and said, just don't sit there, do something. Geez, I just got home. I want to watch TV. Just don't sit there, do something. Well, okay, this transition. Just don't do something, sit there. What? I don't get it. Now, here's the thing. I can share about this and I can think about it and I don't get it. Because it's not gettable. Do you notice in the gospel that time and time and time and time and time and time and time, people don't get it? The Spirit comes upon the folks gathered in that room, about 120 people, we're told. You think they got it? All of a sudden, you know, they're speaking French, they're speaking German, they're speaking Arabic. And they say, these guys are all Galileans, which actually meant these guys are all dumb as a rock. How are they pulling that off? The crowds and that list that Bobby did so well on pronouncing everything right to the T, that was the known world. So they're going out and they're proclaiming in a language that the world understands the great acts of God. How'd that happen? What does that mean? Is it going to happen again? Why isn't it happening to us? I don't get it. Okay. Because you see, really, wherever you're at along this continuum in your life, it is ultimately a call to holiness. That's the currency. Because when we start on this end and we enter a religious reality, and what I like to say is, find your teacher and follow them. Most of us would say our teacher is Jesus. Find your community and join it. Find your path of love and follow it. Find your prayer style and do it. Because it's profoundly individual. But when we start out and we're joining this community, usually the first steps have to do with moral foundations. If you look at this act of life, what's really happening with most of us is psychological and spiritual maturity. You know, we're growing up. We're figuring stuff out. And the intellect illumined by grace is a gift from God, so we need to think about stuff. But in the act of life, our primary thing is our thinking thing. Now we're thinking how to do this or how to do that or how can I pay the bills? I got to figure this out. And the initial steps within the Christian community and the Christian journey is that the church is a way to socialize. The church is something that you do. It's good for you. You can learn lessons. You learn good stuff. You learn how to be a moral person, a caring person. And you see, within this act of life, there's also a contemplative nature. Just as in the contemplative life, there's an active nature. Then something happens. The next step in this act of life process is you have a spiritual experience. Spirituality and the love and the presence of God cannot be understood, but it can be experienced. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Happy are the ones that take refuge in Him. Taste. So you have this religious experience. You know, maybe it's a crucio, or maybe it's the birth of a child, or maybe it's looking at the stars on a starry night, and you suddenly realize, geez, I'm not alone. And you have this powerful spiritual experience, and all of a sudden, God becomes real to you. And then this can happen over time. You know, in this process, you learn to pray. And if you remember, we talked about Lectio, where we used the example of the love letter, that the guy gets a love letter and he reads it, and then he writes the love letter back, and then he's sitting thinking about how much he loves his beloved, And then the beloved comes in the door and touches him on the shoulder. And he turns around and just stares, doesn't have any, you know, just overwhelmed by love. The scripture is God's love letter. When we meditate on the scripture, you know, we enter in and we think about it. We use our brain. We try to reflect on our intellect illumined by grace. And then we sit in our desire for love and union with God. And then there's the waiting. That's the contemplative piece. Prayer, meditation, or I should say reading, meditation, prayer, and contemplation. And often we do that. A lot of you do that. You get up, you have your little meditation that you read in the morning, guideposts or the ones back here, or you read scripture, and then you think about it, and then you, now, sometimes that's where it ends. It's important then to go to desire. Lord, I desire to be in union with you. And then to sit in that quiet time, be still and know that I am God. We come back and it says, be still and know. Well, that's not the end of it. Then there's be still and there's be, right? So we're talking about this active life. And we start out and the church is moral and its purpose and its social. And we do it because it's a good thing to do. Then we can have a religious experience that changes our heart and our mind. And then in the midst of that religious experience along the way, you can have these quickenings, these touches in your heart, just boom. You know, all of a sudden, you see the mystery of a sunset, and you are in the sunset. You're not thinking about the sunset, but you're in the sunset. Or you hold your granddaughter or grandson for the first time, or your baby for the first time, or in prayer you have this sense. That quickening, that touch, is the start of this contemplative piece. The first part, this active life, we're really the ones that are doing the work. And we're praying and we're learning and we're touching. But when we go through this transition point, and there is a transition point for many people, where they go from this active life to not just wanting to have these touches, these brief touches of love by God, to where you want to stay in the relationship with God longer, that's a transition point more into the contemplative life. My question for us as a parish is, are we really moving from more of an active parish into a contemplative parish? I don't know. Because we can't force the quickenings to happen. They're just God's gift. What we can do, though, is desire to abide there. I want to be there. And in that abiding, in that desire, we begin to move more into a contemplative reality. And in that, that's that point of stillness. Is there anything we can do to make it happen? No. In the Buddhist tradition, they say, enlightenment comes without human agency. Means you can't make it happen. I remember I went on a retreat, I think I was 27 years old, and I wanted to have mystical union or bust. We're going to get this done in 7 days. Come on, God, step up to the plate. Light my candle, sit there in quiet. God doesn't show up to the meeting. Come on, let's get this done. What do I need to do? Often many of us will say that. Just tell me what I need to do and I'll get it done. Say that to God. Come on, God, let's get on with this. What do I need to do to be holy? And I want this all to happen by Thursday afternoon. And because then, if that's the way it was, it would just be more of us, right? Who wants more of us? We're fragile. We're broken. We're confused. I set this up. I want to do it in 5 minutes. I'm like thinking about whatever I got to do. Less than that. I'm so proud. I've got my space. I'm all set to go. All of a sudden, you know, I really got to mow the lawn. That's kind of the, that's, don't despair of that. That's our human reality. But is it possible to be in this movement? Yes, what we do is we remove the obstacles, giving us a stance of the least resistance. What did Samuel say? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak. Here I am. I'm open. And that moves into the contemplative. And you see, for some folks, what happens with this transition is they've come to such a place with God that when they step over this transition into God from one life to another, they've already seen it. They've already been there. When we try to use our thought, and remember in our active life, that's our discipline, that's intellect illumined by grace, that's okay, we need to do that. But when this boundary point comes, and now God is working, and we develop a stance of least resistance to let that happen, trying to figure out God is like a man dying of thirst, writing water in the sand in the desert. He's got a good idea. But there's nothing like a drink of water. When we try to use our mind as we move into this contemplative space, it's like writing water in the sand. But what we do is remain open, and that's what we're celebrating here with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit ultimately is the love of God bestowed into the world. And we open ourselves to that love, to that experience. We can't understand it, but we can experience it. And the important thing is to remain open to it. First transition, from the heart of God into the world. Second transition, from our active life, our thought life, into more of a contemplative life. The third transition, back into the heart of God. So my prayer is that we remain open. Don't despair if you got a lot of slippage. Slippage, slippage, slippage. It's all over the place. I can't figure it out. I'm really the horrible person that everybody thought that I was. No. You're just a regular person trying to do the best they can and get through the day. What makes you different is your desire. Your desire for God. Your openness to the Holy Spirit. And your willingness to embrace all of that. May the Lord be with you, bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.